The first scripture lesson you heard today was that reading from Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones when hope was lost, but God's Word and God's Spirit promised to bring those bones together and bring forth new life. The second reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, and he's encouraging them during times of trouble not to lose hope, even as they groan and await God's promised redemption. Hear then these words from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope, we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To model this idea of lost hope, Sean's going to sing a song that comes from a musical called Spitfire Grill. One of the main characters is an older woman that owns a cafe whose son went off to war and didn't return, and she lost hope.
Eli was his name, tall and sweet and strong, loved by everyone. He was like a brother to Caleb. We all looked up to him. As long as he was here, nothing could go wrong. Gilead's favorite son. And then the Vietnam War came. And he didn't get drafted, he enlisted. His dad, Jack, had been kind of a war hero in World War II. So, when it came Eli's turn to serve, he was raring to go. The day of his send-off, we all put on our Sunday best. 8 years old, with a flag in my hand. Step for step, with the big marching band. Through the streets, picket fence, whitewash white. Every house, perfect trim, painted bright. Like Eli, we were brave. There was a world to save. The band struck up a song. Gilead marched along. Still, everyone in town walking up that hill, waiting for the bus, waving him goodbye, part of all of us. Bowed my head, said my prayers every night. Eli, please, save the world, set it right. Folded hands, holding hope like a prayer. 4 years pass, fingers part, nothing there. Missing in action. Hannah's never told anyone what the official story was, but after a few years, It was clear Eli wasn't coming back. When hope goes, sidewalks crack, whitewash fades. Music stops, empty streets, no parades. When hope goes, fences sag, flagpoles rust. Paint peels, broken wheels gather dust. When hope goes, hearts close. Old, with a flag in my hand, step for step with the big marching band. Everyone in town walking up that hill, waiting for the bus. We are waiting still.
I think they believe I'm taller than I am, so I am going to use this lectern today. Let us pray. Loving God, once more draw near to us. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This story at first seems scarcely to believe, but I actually checked it against several sources, and I have good reason to believe its authenticity. In 1933, the Jewish philosopher Hannah Arendt was predicting that dangerous times were coming to her home country of Germany, and that she had to escape. So Arendt made her way to the border of Germany, where a sympathetic German family actually had a house whose front door opened in Germany, but its back door opened in Czechoslovakia. This family would welcome guests during the daytime and would give them a meal and dinner. And then later, under cover of darkness, the guests would exit through the back door into the forests of Czechoslovakia and make their way to freedom in the city of Prague. To me, the story is a wonderful metaphor of faith and hope, and I'll return to it in a moment. Advent, at its heart, is a hopeful season. We look forward to what is to come, the incarnation of God in the birth of Christ, and the fulfillment of God's desires for all creation in the second coming of Christ. Hope, as a category, goes by many names: optimism, expectation, trust, confidence. The poet Emily Dickinson said, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." Now, our reading from Romans chapter 8 from Paul gives actually a more visceral description of what hope is. Paul says that creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God, hoping that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay. For Paul says, we are groaning now in labor pains, waiting for the redemption of all. hope as an expectation, hope as a persistent song, but hope also as a deep longing, groaning as we await redemption at last. Hope is something tough. It can carry us through times that are hard and places that are dark. But what happens when hope is lost? What happens when the medical prognosis is not good, and all that remains is hospice care and comfort measures? What happens, like in the song that Charlotte sang, when the soldier does not return and the only answer is missing in action? Lost hope is real. There are times we have all felt it. In fact, I would wager there are many, or at least some here, who define their own life as shaped by lost hopes and unfulfilled expectations. Now, the Bible offers us many stories where God surprises us and gives us, out of despair, new reason to hope and trust. There's the story of Abraham and Sarah, who, though old in years, end up giving birth to a son, Isaac. There's the story of the valley of dry bones, lifeless and strewn over the landscape, yet by God's Spirit, bone by bone, sinew to sinew, they become again living beings. There's a story of Lazarus being called out of his tomb. The powerful story of Christ emerging from death to life on Easter. And then the persistent, hopeful cry of the church from its earliest days, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. There is no doubt that hope is a critical part of what we believe and what keeps us going as Christians. But we need to be honest. Sometimes hope is lost. Sometimes there's a disconnect between those stories of Scripture and the reality that's staring us in the face when we look in the mirror, or when we're seated at our kitchen table despairing in the early hours of the morning. The church's answer cannot simply be a pie-in-the-sky response, that it will all work out in the end, and we just have to wait until that great getting-up morning to understand. No. We need a faith that is tough enough to talk about lost hope, to talk about broken hearts, and about a creation that is groaning as it waits for its redemption. And so Advent has been given to us. Advent is the season built around tough faith, a faith that relies upon patience and trust and believing in a candle's dim light more than the pressing power of darkness. So to start with, life is not simple. Life is not yes or no, black and white choices between obvious good and obvious evil. There are gray areas in life. And there are times when pain cannot be avoided. And that's why the example that Paul gives us is still valid today, millennia later, that the pain of labor is necessary to bring forth a child. The act of becoming fully human necessarily means at times we will go through stages of pain and struggle, times that are uncomfortable. And we joke that, well, I learned this through the school of hard knocks. And there's truth in that. But let it also be said that not all pain, is instructional. There is pain and suffering that exists in the world that is contrary to all that would raise us up to full humanity, that is contrary to God's values. We must never forget there is evil, there is sin in the world, and that it exists contrary to God's plan. And so the first step, if we're going to deal with lost hope, is to look honestly at why it was lost. We ask ourselves, okay, what was the basis of my hope? What did I stand on as I hoped, and what has changed to make me lose hope? Because bad things do happen in life. Bad things that happen because of poor human choices, sinfulness, brokenness. Matthew 13 described this when Jesus talked about a field where both good seed and bad seed had been planted. And so in time, the wheat and the weeds grew up together, side by side. In the midst of that reality, sometimes we're prone to define our hopes too narrowly. We tell ourselves, well, hope is when good things happen to me, and if bad things happen, well, they happen to someone else. So the good things might be simple things. I'm hopeful as long as I can get to my appointed place safely and find a parking place. I'm hopeful if I've got enough money to pay the bills, if I don't throw out my back, if I don't trip, if I don't break a hip. But if our hope is too narrowly defined, we have to recognize there are still days we do have car accidents and we throw out our backs. There are days we get a cancer diagnosis or a loved one dies unexpectedly. Hope cannot simply be grounded on this premise that I have a series of good days. When it's defined that way, it is easy to lose hope. Now, for most of us, for many of us, spiritual hope can withstand a fender bender or a broken bone. But sometimes there's a string of bad things that happen, and we start having trouble seeing how it could ever get better. When we endure the end of a marriage, or the end of a career, or we have the inability to beat an addiction, or worse. Hope in those hard times can feel like just wishful thinking, and the temptation is to give up on faith, to lose hope entirely. Like Paul said, in those moments, we groan. We literally groan in our pain, seeing around us only decay and bondage and disappointment. So if the first step was to ask ourselves, what was our hope and why did we feel it let us down? The second step is to remember that the God we worship is the God who knows suffering. God in Christ weeps for us and weeps with us. God in Christ has known pain and known abandonment and even known death. And we need to remind ourselves that God is not to be defined by power and omnipotence, but by love. And to love means you make yourself vulnerable, because a part of you is no longer yours to control, but has been placed in someone else's hand. That other hand may be a child or a spouse or a family member. It could even be a broad love that we have for our community, our neighborhood, for our world. To love is to hope, even though this love will be messy and vulnerable and complex. But in the end, to love is to live. It is to become fully human. It is to become children of God, because God is love. That groaning and yearning that Paul talks about is just one aspect of what it means to be loving while we live amongst the weeds and the wheat, amongst the good and the bad of life. And that's why finding hope when it's been lost begins by expanding our narrow definition of hope. It begins to come back when we allow ourselves to love, to be vulnerable, to trust that the God who knows us also suffers with us, groans and yearns with us, even as God assures us that the good can be trusted and love will prevail. For love wins. Now go back to that story of Hannah Arendt. I love the image of a house that literally straddles a border. I love the idea that in that house, people are welcomed in by one door, and inside they have a meal together. And all the people in that house fully understand the messiness of what's going on around them. The very real danger that exists outside one door. The opportunity on the other. But even in the midst of the tension between those options, they choose to live. They share food. They care for one another. They love. And at the right moment then, they exit by a different door. Now work still remains to be done. Risks have not gone away. But a new direction opens before them. A pathway that leads to freedom and to redemption and to life. So in thinking about this, decide, are you a person of strong hope or of fragile hope or of lost hope? If your hope is gone, then picture this house on the border and move toward it. Remember once more what you value and love, and trust that it can be found in that direction. Walk by faith, even if it's only small steps. God is patient. God is kind. God is ever faithful. If your hope is fragile, then step inside the house. Become part of that house's community. Share a communion meal. Sing a song. Offer a prayer. Love one another as Christ has loved you. And be at peace. And if your hope is strong, if you can affirm that, that probably means you've stepped out of the back door of that house into a new land. A land of possibilities that can be trusted even as there remain risks to be faced and dangers and sadness and loss to be endured. But Paul's words remain the words for that path forward. In hope, we are saved. Hope is no simple thing. Hope is a promise. It's an expectation. It's an optimism. It's a thing with feathers. It's a song that is sung without the words and never ceases at all. Hope is a house where we find ourselves when it really matters, where together we remember what is important about this life that's been made by God. And hope ultimately is moving from one place to another, looking toward a horizon that does exist and which will be fully revealed, just as at an Easter resurrection or a candlelit Advent promise reminds us. Beloved, know this. In hope, we are saved. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you as a people who are waiting. We wait along with all of creation, not only to celebrate the birth of your Son Jesus, but we cry out, waiting the day when Christ will come to make all things new. As we wait, we pray that you will magnify our hope, not only in the moments of our lives that are easy and filled with joy, but even in those moments where we struggle or those we love are hurting. Gracious God, magnify within us our gratitude for the gift of your love poured out for us in Jesus. And then magnify our ability to reach out in love to others in your name. Where there is hurting, suffering, struggle, or pain, may we be instruments of hope as we share your love with those in need. And so in hope, we come to you with our prayers. And as we gather today, we know and acknowledge that some of the prayers we lift up are prayers for ourselves and our loved ones. for our inner circle, for those most dear. We also acknowledge that the world around us is broken, in need of grace, in need of healing, in need of peace. And so as we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come, we pray that Christ will come into every hurting heart, bringing healing to those who are suffering from depression or anxiety, from addiction or despair. We pray that Christ will come and bring healing to all whose bodies are hurting, those who are aching with chronic illness, those with acute injury or illness that is in need of treatment. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We pray that Christ will come into our families where there is woundedness or worry, where there is estrangement and need for reconciliation. Bring the healing peace that comes through forgiveness, through broken down barriers, through reconnection, through words of encouragement. We pray too that God will come into our city streets, into our neighborhoods, throughout this land and throughout all of the lands the world over. We are well aware that there is too much violence. There is too much suffering. There are too many differences in which some of your people are well fed, have majestic roofs over their heads, receive an amazing education and quality health care, while there are so many in this world who struggle to make ends meet, to put bread on the table, to make it through a day of school, to think about a future with promise or a roof of safety over their head. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come into the lives of our neighbors, those whom we know, and those neighbors who are strangers to us that we will never meet. Make all things new. Level the playing field. Make sure that all of your people have the basic necessities of life, so that the day ahead and indeed the future is a future of hope. And hear us too as we pray for peace. We cry out with those among the millennia, recognizing the need for peace, for an end to war and violence, but also an end to anxiety that troubles our hearts. And so, gracious God, we gather in hope for the day when that peace that surpasses all understanding will touch our hearts and our minds and resonate and radiate out through our very lives. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Fill our lives with hope. Allow us to be instruments of your hope, pronouncing the good news of your love for us. Hear now in this moment of silence the prayers that are on our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We lift to you all of our prayers in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.